Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Thank Your Pain podcast, where we take the painful moments in our lives and turn them into lessons and blessings. And today, we are blessed to have Joe, aka Mr. Motivation 777, join us on the podcast. Joe himself is an entrepreneur. He has his own clothing brand for men to inspire them for their mental health. He's a model. He's into fitness. He's many, many things. And today, he's here to talk about the misconceptions of men who are going through depression, anxiety, the struggles that men have versus women even. We dive deep into it today on the podcast. I'm so grateful to have him here. So let's dive in. All right. So we are here today with Joe. Welcome back. It's so good to talk to you, see you again. And talking about a very important topic that I think a lot of men can secretly relate to, which is the misconceptions of men who are struggling, who are undergoing, you know, depression, heavy anxiety, things like that. And, you know, Joe is heavily in the public eye, almost a million followers on TikTok. And this is something that he actually has opened up with his own struggles with. So I'm handing it over to you, Joe, to see if you could talk a little bit about what you've been going through and we can kind of go over it.
Well, it's a pleasure. Thank you for getting me on the phone here so we can talk and kind of get this little bit of exposure. And I mean, I wouldn't say I'm heavily in the public eye, but I'm starting to get there. But what has gotten me a lot of attention pretty much has been talking about the shit that no one wants to talk about, which is basically the behind the scenes of the masculine conscious and a lot of the shit that we go through on a day-to-day life and how to adapt and overcome in any given situation, but also to help people understand and realize the struggles and the accomplishments that guys continue to go through from a day-to-day basis. And that's not to exclude, you know, basically the opposite side, the feminine side at all, but basically to offer a different perspective of things that are maybe not heavily talked about. So I try to be one of the most real or honest, you know, content creators or what have you that I possibly can be. So that means, yes, you will see when everything's going good and everything's great and everything's gung-ho and I'm aggressive and passionate and everything of the sort. But that also means you're going to see when I, you know, when I struggle, you know, when I stumble or whatever. And you can actually see that in probably the past couple months of some of my videos. It's like, I'm just letting everyone know, it's like, hey, this is kind of what's going on. This is why you haven't really seen much of me. This is why I may not be as uppity or as cheerful. You know, I don't really smile anyway, but the energy, at least, isn't quite there.
And so do you feel the need to make videos like that, like explaining what's going on because you know, post so much on social media? Like, do you feel the need to explain why you're gone and things like that?
Yeah, I'd be lying to them. I'd be lying to them if I am constantly sitting there going, you got this, motivation, dead, all this other, you know, cliche bullshit. But yeah, it works sometimes, but people don't seem to realize too that sometimes it also helps more if they understand maybe the person that did help them out so much is also human. And even someone like me, who is quite literally Mr. Motivation, also still deals with shit at the same time. Like, I also still have life struggles. I also still deal with some of the same shit as someone who doesn't even feel like anything still seems to go through. So it almost brings like a sense of like equality and humanity to the whole situation. Like, it's not just like I'm some person that they watch online that they, you know, get when they are feeling down. It's like, no, this is actually, he's part of the movement. He's not just a character. He's actually in this with us. And it just adds a sense of like realism to the whole situation.
Okay. And so, yeah, in saying that, you said he's part of the movement. He's here with us. Are you saying that there's a lot of people who can relate to depression and anxiety and who maybe aren't as honest as you are?
Yes, I'd say probably. No, this is a rough statement. No, don't quote me on this. This is not, you know, FDA or CDC approved statistics here, but I'd say about 95% of the people would be able to relate, that aren't as open or as honest or, you know, self-aware like that, or not even maybe like self-aware, but able to understand, like, this is what's going on, this is what we have to do. You know, everyone goes through depression at some point in their life. Everyone at least experiences anxiety at least once or twice in their life, in a sense. And it's like, how many people actually talk about it? You know what I mean? How many people on a day-to-day basis, you know, can have an open conversation on some of the shit they've been through, or even that they're currently going through? We really keep ourselves guarded. I mean, look at the whole idea of social media. It's fake, right? Look at me, look at my nice car, look at my nice outfit, you know. I know you follow me on social media, so you see me post like, you get into the modeling magazines, you know, I mean, I'll, like getting my hair cut, all the different outfits, like just the day-to-day stuff like that. But it's like, those are just the snippets. You know, we only post the good shit. We only post the sides that people want, we want people to see. And then you kind of look a little bit deeper and like, for instance, you can have someone take this amazing badass photo of them maybe leaning on a Lamborghini and in red bottoms and their new Louis Vuitton outfit, bullshit, whatever. After that picture's over, they go and return the rental car.
Right.
And, you know, they're looking at their bank account at the negative $3,000 that they just spent on their credit card. And now they're sitting in an apartment that they could barely afford. About to go to their 9-to-5 job, bawling their eyes out. Because their parents don't approve of their lifestyle. And their partner just cheated on them. Like, that's obviously an extreme.
Kind of pretty specific. But, I mean, I'm sorry, are you recapping your day for me right now? Damn. Somebody out there feels like attacked, like they're in their apartment right now, like, damn, no, Joe's coming after me. Oh man. Well, no,
but I try to get really specific with it, because if you just take snapshots of that whole situation, each one of those is what certain people go through, or what some people go through outside of their social media.
Right. Well, and I think social media is becoming a lot more honest now, but specifically for men, can you just like give us a perspective on that? Because I'm obviously not a man. I'm a men's coach. I know it might fool you. It fools a little bit, but from a, you know, just from a motivational man's perspective, you know, do you feel like a lot of men are faking it?
Oh, definitely. Oh, 100%. And you really have to be aware. Like, not many people actually know how to read people. Not many people actually have enough insight or pay attention enough or can read people like that to really look at somebody and be like, I see past all your bullshit. So, perfect example. I was at a bar with my buddy Doug. I'm sure I've talked about him before. You know about him. Dude's like my goddamn brother. But we were at a bar, and this dude came up from behind us. I want to say he was ex-military. I want to say he was ex-army or something. And he was that typical drunk guy in the bar, you know, all over everyone. Hey, dude, arm around the shoulder, whatever. And he kept wanting to arm wrestle or fight somebody. Like, he's like, I don't know. I just want to get hyped up, whatever. Let's just go do some stupid shit. So, you know, but we're bigger guys too, and even though I've lost some size over the past few months, like, I'm still bigger than the average person. And my buddy Doug didn't think anything of it. You know, he could tell that he was going through some stuff, but he doesn't deal with drunk people like that. And I'm looking at this dude, and I'm looking at him like, what's actually going on? Like, whatever. Like, I just saw right through him, because he put on that I'm fine, dude. No, I want to arm wrestle. I want to do that. But he was obviously too intoxicated to have a normal conversation with. So he went on his merry way, kind of left us alone for a little bit. And I was talking to someone that knew him. Yeah, he just got rejected for an engagement after 3 years of being with this girl. Right. So they were together for 3 years. He proposed. He got rejected. And now that's his way of coping. But the front that he put on is fun, drunk party guy, just wants to be aggressive and have fun. Meanwhile, I'm sure if, you know, you gave him a few more shots and tried to talk to him, he'd be breaking down crying in the bathroom.
Right. So there's a lot built in there, right? Like, the response for a man when he's feeling extremely emotional is almost like show the complete opposite. I'm fine. I'm cool. I'm the fun one. I'm like, fuck that bitch, right? Like, not to be so crass on my own podcast, but like, that's the attitude we all take, right? Because we don't want to show weakness, like we're hurt, somebody's down, but especially for men. And also what you said next was he'd probably break down, cry in the bathroom. The fact that men have to go to alcohol in order to release some of that emotion, you know, it's heartbreaking. And why do you, you know, would you agree with that? And
oh, well, think about it like this though. We get so conditioned and so trained subconsciously to put on this front. It takes so much to actually have that be broken down, not for us like genuinely just opening up about it, but for all those guards and insecurities or whatever to be literally stripped down to the bare bone to finally expose what we were going through. Another example is I was talking to one of the guys we hang out with or whatever, and this is like stereotypical man, blue collar, big, hairy, thick bone, like. You look at him with his resting bitch face or whatever, and he's like, that could either be the guy that's got your back, or you mess with him and his family, whatever, and he has no problem killing you. Just real rough and tough, whatever. Tell me why, you know, this guy had a few drinks, whatever, but tell me why within 20 minutes I had him bawling his eyes out. And obviously it's not my business to share, you know, what he told me, but basically going over all the stuff that he probably hasn't told a whole lot of people in his entire life, but you could tell like that stuff was buried so deep down. And I was trying to help him like kind of analyze, like, this is what you went through. This is why you were acting like this. This is why you were currently, you know, reaching out like this, like boom, 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 boom. Granted, of course, you don't talk business when you're intoxicated. I don't really drink anymore. So obviously I'm the sober one, but still, it's the fact that it took that much and for him to like feel that comfortable to finally drop those guards.
Right. Well, and I love what you said too about men being conditioned to basically hide everything in the subconscious, because that's what I've seen as well. And what I've re-seen it as also is men are conditioned to suffer and to associate suffering with gain. The more I suffer, the more I gain, right? Like work hard, play hard. Well, maybe that doesn't assist. Okay, no pain, no gain. That
okay,
one.
Okay, well, first of all, I know exactly where you're coming from when you said that, because that was literally the conversation we had the last time we talked.
So I know.
What happened?
I don't want to pull an I told you so, didn't I? But I said you're going to burn out, didn't I? And then what happened? You got sick as heck.
No. Because
you were down. You were down for the count.
Well, first of all, I'm still alive and well, thank you. And second of all, that conversation happened after the fact I got sick. And what happened,
Before when I was in Colombia, because it was only when I came back from Colombia that I got sick, and we got sick at the same week. I know. I remember. You can't just.
Was it really that long ago? Because I thought that was in December. Oh, it's been a minute, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I did die a little bit. However, I will say this though. First of all, don't die on me. I see that. Secondly, yes, I know you're giving me a lot of shit for rough and tough pain, suffering, all that, and kind of going through the motions or whatever. However, you know me well as anyone else that takes 2 seconds to take a look at me. I obviously don't have that quitting mentality. I will keep going and going and going. It doesn't matter. And where did that lead me to? Well, I got accepted in 2 magazines and looking for more later on. On top of that, my own business is personally growing in the sense that, you know, slowly but surely I'm getting, you know, more and more, clients in my coaching. I'm looking to further grow my own website and, you know, offer more in the coaching, getting back on the podcast and looking to get more, but like everything is slowly but surely on the up, right? I'm even looking to quit my full-time job to move over to do this full-time. So yes, the suffering at that time did suck, right? But what came out of that was the reality of, okay, time to hit the pause button for 2 seconds, understand the reality of the situation. One, give me an opportunity to be real with my followers and have that sense of, you know, almost building trust and loyalty, not only in myself, but the movement and the brand name. And also helped me to restructure everything, right? To the point now where I need to sit down, get everything reorganized, and get everything situated, right? So we need those moments of heavy, heavy struggle to get us to understand that we need a change of course so we can keep going. It's not a dead stop. And
I just totally disagree. If you don't have to struggle, why would you struggle? You know what I mean? Like, if you don't have to struggle, why would you struggle? So the narrative that I need to suffer in order to gain is totally perplexing to me. And that's what I'm saying, is that men are taught this narrative. I need to suffer in order to learn a lesson. I need to suffer in order to gain something. You're finding the silver lining in hindsight. But if you could have everything that you have without having to go through that shit, why wouldn't you? Right? Like, if you could still learn the lessons.
Because nothing good from life can come without struggling. Because struggling induces growth, right? You have to struggle in order to grow. That's why it's called growing pains. Like, literally, even your physical body, when you are growing, is going through
right, some but there's a pain. Difference between growing and like suffering, like having to endure pain.
It's just the way you look at it.
Okay. So, but this is the thing, right? Because like, I'm saying like, you don't have to do that, but you want okay. it. You want to suffer.
Okay, then give me another option then. Give me another option besides.
I mapped it out. We were coaching together and I mapped out a lot of things for you. You have to challenge yourself on the idea that I don't have to suffer in order to have good things happen to me. Because this is how we fall into the self-fulfilling prophecy of suffering, right? Like, if we believe we have to suffer in order to gain, we're going to look for ways that we do suffer in order to gain, right? As opposed to, if you don't have that mentality, you open up doorways without having to endure super hard lessons. Like, I'm not saying anybody can go through life without any hard lessons at all, but I'm saying you don't have to keep yourself in a continuous loop over and over again.
All right, well, riddle me this then. What about the highly successful people, or even like even that military mindset of that almost like sick and twisted of like, no, I like the struggle. No, I like going through the hard shit that makes me, you know, it conditions you, it conditions the body, it conditions the mind of anything like that. Because one of the best ways to obviously learn something is to actually experience it yourself. How do you think I've acquired the mindset that I have, especially at such a young age, from the shit that I've gone through? You look at any hyper, that didn't even come out right, hyper successful person, right? Entrepreneur, actor, you know, even in the military, regardless, and ask them the shit that they've been through to get to the point where they're at. Perfect example, I'll name Dwayne The Rock Johnson or Andy Frisella or Seth Rossi, Arnold Schwarzenegger, even Donald Trump or any other cliche bullshit politician, whatever, if you want to look at that perspective, right? If you want to look at Tom Brady. But it's the idea of these hyper successful men have learned one thing that, you know, when you talk about, that's different, right? You see it as, oh, I see you struggling. You don't have to struggle. There's another way. You know, you shouldn't have to suffer like that. And it's like, no, but I like it. But I like
it. Do you like it? Because when you talk about it, when you're going through it, you don't like it.
No, because when you're going through it, it fucking sucks.
So I'm saying, like, it's like if you go to the gym and you're intending to push yourself, right? That is like a growing pain, right? You got to push yourself to grow your muscles. It sucks because you're like, oh, fuck, squatting sucks, hurts my legs, whatever. But to go through suffering as in like, I'm going to stay in a shitty job that I don't like because I have to be here. I'm going to live in a place that I don't like because I have to be here. I'm going to keep dating the same toxic people over and over again because okay, I feel like I have to be here. Like, the pain of your limiting beliefs will keep you in a toxic cycle with yourself.
That's different though. That's different. All the things that you put, right, all the things that you said are choices, right? All those things that you said are limiting factors in the mind that are
choices. But what's not a choice?
So
what things that happen are not a choice?
Me getting sick, me getting into a car accident.
But did you not work without sleeping? Did you not have days where you couldn't take care of yourself?
Let me finish. It's, first of all, you said things that were out of my control. So me getting sick was inevitable, right? Me having an illness, that was going to, you know, happen regardless of the situation. However, you know, crashing the car, getting the stuff stolen, getting, you know, abused by my mother, getting out of the abusive relationship that I was in, right? I'm just simply going off of the way you set it up. I'm choosing to stay in the shitty job because I have to. I'm choosing to live where, whatever, because I have to. And it's, you don't have to. But some places are temporary that move you to a different spot in life. But it's the people that choose to stay in those shitty situations sometimes don't even realize that they're even suffering. That's where you get the whole idea of the average American working the 9-to-5 and living the bum average life. They're not the happiest. They may not be miserable, depressed, and in a slump, but they're empty. And in a sense, that is some of the worst ways to suffer, is that feeling of non-fulfillment and that feeling of being empty. But those are all things in your control, right? How you control is basically your response to it. You simply just ask, what are things that are not in your control?
Well, because everything, when it boils down to it, is technically a choice, because something that we chose ended us up here, right? Not your childhood template. You couldn't choose that, right? Using that as a foundation, as your lesson, right? Or whatever you want to garner meaning from your life. Sometimes life just sucks balls. But exactly like what you said, how most people don't realize that they're suffering because we've been conditioned to believe that a certain way of life is the best way of life. And that goes back to what I was saying about men have been conditioned to suffer. So subconsciously, you've been conditioned to like your own pain. And it keeps you in this loop of being a societal robot because it keeps us in a matrix. And women too, like women have been conditioned to really give a shit about what everybody thinks about how they look. And like a woman's value is, you know, her looks and whatever else is associated with being a woman. So it's like, we're trapped in certain matrices. And it's just crazy how it controls our lives, you know? So whatever right. You get, you feed off of, right? Like feed off your pain, feed off your suffering. But as long as you're aware that maybe right. Things could be different or whatever.
Right. So I'm going to offer you this perspective though. Yes, you know, it could be a subconscious choice. Like you said, how I like to suffer. You know, what sets me apart from other people is the fact that it's almost like anxiety. You can use it in two different ways. And it's people's choice on how you use it. I choose to use my suffering in the area of self-growth, right? So I can use the pain and suffering as a learning lesson to grow. What can I learn from this? What can I adapt from this? What can I gain from this? Whereas some people use it as a crutch or they use it as a cripple. That's what.
Okay. That kind of makes sense. Yeah. Sorry. You went out. The sound went out for a second.
I constantly get phone calls all day, every day.
So how do you think, so when you're saying that, you say people mostly use it as X, what do you think men mostly do with that? What's inside of them?
That's a good question. I'd say they mostly use it as almost like an excuse.
Right. Why do you say that?
Well, because just like you said, how we're conditioned, right? I mean, I think we may have talked about this or spoken on this topic before in a sense of like, look at the way we're kind of brought up in society, right? The whole idea is that we go to school, we go to college, we get out with a whole copious amount of debt, but then the whole main degree of it is like to find a woman, to do everything we can to marry that one woman so that we can get a house, take care of our business, take care of our kids, right? Just work and provide and go through the motions. And finally, maybe at the age of 65, we can hopefully retire if we did everything right. Then maybe enjoy life at that. And then
play some golf.
Right. No, seriously. And then fucking die. Because that's the narrative that we've been told. So that's the narrative that they're like, oh, this is just the way it is. And they put their suffering or their depression or anything on the back burner because they have to work. They have to provide for their family. They have to take care of their shit. So it's almost like They're like, I can't do anything else because this is what I have to do. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is just the way it is.
Okay. And so that being said, is there any advice or anything that you would say to that guy listening right now who's maybe stuck in that hamster wheel?
Be very careful getting married. And don't give a shit about what other people think about you in terms of the way you live your life. One of the biggest issues I always run into, especially with guys, are these two topics, is women and the idea that they're not living up to their standard of their parents, their friends, or what everyone else thinks they should do. And I don't mean, and I made a video on this too, but I know I worded it just right because people actually understood, like, I wasn't trash talking women on this. When I say all of guys' problems seem to be centered around women, it's because we let our problems be centered around women.
Right.
And inside, I said, like, we constantly choose these women that are, one, not good for us, that we have no intention of be, or like no purpose or reason to even be with, right? They're not good for us. But it's the fact that not only that, but then we choose to either marry these women or have kids with these women, or choose to chase women that aren't interested in us, or choose to get ourselves in these situations, all because we have this conditioned mind of like, I just need that one. You know, so it's like that one video I had go viral, where it's like, you don't center your entire life and your entire being around, you know, your partner. And I know we had talked about it, and it still blows my mind, because some of the guys actually got it, right? They actually were able to figure it out, like, no, driving my purpose, and my partner's on her purpose, and we grow together. But majority of the women that commented in that video were like, yo, he's actually right. And then I'm sure you read some of the comments. Majority of the guys are like, what are you talking about? Who hurt you? My woman's my center. My wife's my center.
My woman is my purpose. Like, it's fine for like family and whatever to be your purpose, but to make a person your purpose, A, puts a lot of pressure on them. And we talked about this on your podcast, puts a lot of pressure on them, and also like completely loses yourself, right? Like, you're making yourself in depending on another person and their validation.
Right. So I'm gonna just kind of add this real quick too. It's like, so I know you just said, you know, it's okay making your family your purpose. It's not even about that, right? Because look at it this way though. One, your kids turn 18. If you raise them right, raise them accordingly, they should be self-sufficient enough to move out and survive on their own. Mm-hmm. Why would you make your kids your entire purpose if they are eventually going to leave and live their own life? And I get it, being a dad, that whole like, no, I want to make sure my kids are always okay. And, you know, I always got them, I always take care of them, but you can't do that forever. You can't baby them. You can't watch over them forever. The way you raise them, the way you teach them, they should be grown enough to a point where when they're ready to leave, they will be able to grow and be a leader on their own. And you just kind of maybe guide them in the areas that they don't know. But here's the thing. Yes, your family, like you said, some people put as their purpose, but let me offer this perspective. What if it's maybe not your family that's your purpose, but it's the idea of you feel the most fulfillment and feel the most fulfilled in your purpose because you're a leader in that family. Maybe your purpose is your provider. So fulfilling in that purpose is you're a provider for that family. Because not only can you take that and now you're getting fulfilled in your purpose by being a provider in your family, but now you're being a provider in your job and your community and your friends.
Right.
It's bigger than that.
Right, exactly.
So I think that's definitely a narrative that has gotten even when I talk to a lot of guys too, and I even mentioned the idea of purpose, their mind immediately goes to career. Mm-hmm. Oh, my purpose is to be a mechanic. My purpose is to be a soldier. My purpose is to be a fucking cashier, if that's all they think they're good for. And I'm like, no. And I'll even bring it down to this. It's like, okay, so say, perfect example, I met, I think two or three coaching calls ago, this guy really liked coding, and he thought his whole purpose was to be an IT guy. Like, first of all, that sounds like a really boring purpose to have in life, but to each their own regardless. I'm like, what if it's actually just because you like helping people, not just being an IT guy, but the acts of service of helping people, the way you fulfill those acts of service is through one of the hobbies that you are very passionate about. I just simply took his one little limited mindset of like, this is all it can be. I'm like, no. What if you grew that? What if you took that mindset and brought it outside of just this college education, career, whatever, and grew that to be like, I know I like IT, and I know I like serving and helping people. Now, what if you grew that in a sense of like, I'm going to figure out all I need to know about IT, maybe be a freelance, do my own business, do whatever, and now your ability and potential goes so far outside of college and career that now you are no longer limited by that college education and that by single job career-oriented mindset. And now you could really start feeling fulfilled when you're able to help that many more people outside of just that single lane path.
Right. Well, and that just goes on to the idea that purpose is, it's like expansive and it can change, right? So like maybe at first, if you don't know what your purpose is, or like you start off like, okay, my purpose is my family. And over time you're like, okay, no, it actually is more than just family, right? Like if someone's been living their whole life and they, you know, the whole life they were like, oh my God, my kids are my purpose. And now they're at this midlife crisis, which is where I see a lot of men, right? they have achieved so much in work and they have the money and what they're desiring is something more. Well, it's because before it was kind of like a limited mindset of just this small family unit. Now take the skills that you've learned and, you know, the values and things and expand it and blow it up exactly like what you said. So
I wouldn't even call it a midlife crisis, because I mean, I've been on calls with guys that are in their 20s that are feeling like this.
Right. Well, I would just like the midlife crisis is what we categorize it as. But actually, and I love that you brought that up too, because I see a lot of younger men in this quarter life or midlife crisis. I think it's really just an awakening of self, right? Like people are waking up way earlier because of the internet and because of talks like these, where we're just like, holy shit, bringing reality people. It's not about your purpose is not a career or a skill set. It's something from within you that, you know, you can apply to anything and expand outward.
Well, I mean, look at like this in society standard of like, there's no way you could have that old school mindset where you end up getting that midlife crisis at the age of, you know, 30, 40, 50, where now you hit that, like, there has to be something, like I'm missing something, right? Because that comes after that old school idea of school, college, marriage, career, whatever, right? Because now it's like you don't have those old school mindsets anymore. Those people don't think like that anymore. So now these guys are getting out of, you know, high school or getting out of college, and they're like, well, shit, because they can't have that old school. You know, family structure, that old school dating structure, that old school work structure. Everything is completely different now. Back then, it was easier just to kind of go with the flow.
I was just going to say that before there was at least like a pathway that somebody had, right? So that also gave a man a purpose. The purpose was to go to college. The purpose was to get a good job. The purpose was to take care of your family. That was a man's purpose as the provider, right? As biologically the hunter, right? That's how you hunted. Like you have the job, you're the breadwinner. And since the narratives have changed, men have felt lost because there's no structure anymore. What the fuck do we do? There's no pathway. If I go to college and get a job and whatever, like women's mentalities have changed too. So it's not like it's as easy to just settle down and take care of the wife and the kids and stuff, because people have different narratives. And that's why I go back in my coaching to the man himself and like, hey, I know all this shit around you seems chaotic and crazy and confusing, but once you clear up who you are, like, what do you actually want? What are your core values? Like, what are your love languages, things about you? Then your path is made for you, right? And then you can cut out the people who don't align with that, or cut out the women who don't align with that, and start looking for patterns of the life that you do want. Start looking for the people who do align with that. And then life gets a lot easier.
Oh, yeah. And like, men really got flipped around with that, like when the whole mentality, kind of like you said, when the whole mentality of the feminine mind changed, of now we have, you know, the strong independent woman, don't need no man, I can provide for myself or whatever. And all these guys that, you know, still maybe had that old school mindset of, you know, provide, protect, you know, care for, are like, well, none of these women want me to provide, protect, or care for them anymore. They're like, well, now what
is my job?
Right. They're like, now what the fuck do I do with myself? And I'm like, well, now maybe you could actually start doing the shit that you wanted to do in life. And then maybe attract a woman that, you know, is right for you in that sense. Instead of trying to force it onto someone who is going to look at you and be like, oh, fuck you, dude. I can buy my own shit.
Right. Well, and it forces men to have to change the narrative that they've been taught. Like, you know, hide your feelings, just suppress things. Don't, because when you do that, you can't know what you like or what you want, right? Because you're so focused on what the world is going to validate you for, right? So men also have to face that challenge of like, okay, I don't know what I want because I haven't looked. So they have to find a space to actually look at what they want, look at what they like, be able to follow that path, because we're being forced to provide different values. Women are no longer as valuable if they just want to be mothers. I mean, in small pockets, right? Like, women could just rely on like being mothers and being caretakers before. Men could just rely on being providers and being fathers before. Now we have to provide different value because women are breadwinners and, you know, men are doing, you know, their own thing. I totally lost my train of thought there, but you know what I mean? Like, we have to provide different values.
I mean, so I'd be careful what you say there and just a little bit, because even now, even though like societal norms have changed, or, you know, even societal structures and the family structures have changed, women could still get by if they wanted to, simply being, you know, the housewife and the mother and things like that. That will always and forever still be an option for them, because there will always be a man willing to, you know, take on that role. Now, the only difference is the other option has laid out for the fact that if they wanted to go and be the breadwinner and be a leader and do all, you know, the one of the great things that women can do now, or at least have an option for them to do now, or it's not, you know, looked awkwardly on, that is now an option for them. Here's the difference though. Guys can't do that. If I wanted to sit on my ass and be like, oh, I'm just going to wait here and I'm just going to wait for someone to take care of me.
Well, okay. Put a pause on that, because you just made a whole entire thing about what women are doing, right? If we're going to say women are at home taking care of the children and being a housewife, that's totally different than just sitting on your ass and just waiting for someone to take care of you. Because there are men who do that too, right? Like, there are men who actually are stay at home dads. And there are men who are lazy pieces of shit, just like women. We're not sticking up men and women are like having the best intentions with life.
No. You cannot say those extremes though. Yes, those extremes of like, oh, the whole sit on my ass, lazy motherfucker.
Well, you just said an extreme. That's why I called you out.
No. What I said was, if a woman wanted to be a stay-at-home mom and a mother, that is always an option for her.
Right.
With the right guy who's able to step up to that role. However, here's the difference. As a guy, no woman in the right mind that would ever... I want to word this very carefully, because I know you're going to pick apart every single word that I say. No higher value woman that is actually seeking more out of life, right? Someone who actually wants to have a good quality of life, meaning she's well taken care of financially, mentally, emotionally, and all those aspects, would tolerate a guy indefinitely, you know, the whole death to us part, for a guy that just sits on his ass and doesn't provide some sort of value. There's a difference between being a stay-at-home dad and just a fucking hang around. The idea is the fact that guys cannot produce children in any facet of the way. That's what makes women special, is that they can provide something that men can't, which is children and a family. They can turn a household into a home. Hence why they will always be valued no matter what, if they choose that path. Now, the deadbeats and the hang arounds, the whatevers, that is an extreme. That is an outlier outside of. Those are the real lazy mom, the real pieces of shit. You know what I'm saying? So we cut those out of statistics either way, because those are such outliers. The same goes for men, and also the same goes for the extremes, the overachievers on both sides. Mm-hmm. You kind of get what I'm saying with that? So it's like, just even in society alone, you can't have a guy just sit on his ass and for a woman to come along and just be like, I'm going to take care of you, or I want to be able to just provide for you. You don't have to do anything, because I'm not giving anything. I don't have a child to give. I can't make a house a home. right? But if my woman, right, if my girlfriend or wife, whatever, we have a kid, or she just wants to be, you know, the stay-at-home wife or mom or whatever, that's completely okay. Why? Because she can make that house into a home. There's a different energy there. There's a different vibe there. That's very different. And that all goes to the psychological way that we act and think and carry out our day. That goes all the way back to how we are structured, right? And how we interact with people. That goes back to the very reason why Chris Brown, was it Chris Brown? No, it wasn't Chris. Chris Brown is the singer.
Chris Brown like beat Rihanna when they dated.
No, not Chris Brown. not Chris Brown. The comedian. Fuck, I'm drawing a blank.
Chris Rock? Dave Chappelle? Yes.
No, I'm just naming off black comedians now.
They're the only comedians I know close to Chris Brown.
Chris Rock. I think it was Chris Rock. Basically said, women, children, or dogs are loved unconditionally. That's the whole idea of unconditional love. Because no matter what, they have some innate initial value. No matter what, that is looked completely different upon. And that's not just a societal thing. That goes outside of society. Because after a guy hits, you know, a guy reaches manhood, right, where he is looked to make something of himself, if he doesn't, what happens? Look at what happened even up until now. It's always been women and children first. We can leave dogs out of the picture because everyone loves dogs and no one will ever, you fuck with a dog, someone will kill you just because you fucked with a dog. Like, I'm sure everyone can fucking agree on that.
Right.
If anyone sees you, like, even hit a fucking dog, like, I will shoot you right in the face and not think twice about it. So we can leave that just even out of the statement. But think about the reality of the situation, right? Children have value just because of their sheer innocence and potential. Regardless, they have a sense of innocence about them. Women have value because they can provide what a man can't. This is why everyone hates the saying, but you can't deny the fact that men have to provide some sort of value. But everyone always associates that with financial value. It's like, no, no. It could be emotional. It could be physical. It could be intellectual value. But it has to be something.
Okay, well, I mean, this topic goes way deeper than what we have time left for. So we have to keep everybody on a cliffhanger. I think we actually talked about that on the live podcast that we did with you initially. Like, we went into this a little bit more in depth because I remember that exact quote. But wow, Joe, every time we get into a conversation, it always goes someplace deep. We unfortunately don't have any more time today to dive into this, but thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you, everybody who's listening. Can't wait to have you at the Year of the Man Summit, where, you know, you dive into some other deep stuff, masculine, feminine energy, or, you know, whatever questions the audience has for you. And I just really appreciate you being here. So thank you so much.
No, thank you so much for having me. I'm going to have a lot of fun with that.